Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
And really through the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told in Luke 15, we were able to see how the Father actually rejoices over us and with us, right? When we're in his house or when we have come home. And when we come home, what he does is actually he clothes us in the best robe, right? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. He puts a ring on our finger, which symbolizes sonship and authority in the name of Jesus. And then he puts shoes on our feet, which Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 is the gospel of peace, right? So he wants us to go and tell all that he's done for us as a good father. And he rejoices in doing all of those things. Why? Because he's good, he's faithful, and he's true. And his plans for us are good. And they're full of hope and joy and peace and a future. Amen? So really 3 weeks ago, we transitioned from talking about the Father's vision for us. And we started talking about us, we ourselves, having spiritual vision. But really, over the past 2 weeks, just under the unction of the Holy Spirit, we took a 2 week break from this series, and we talked about taking courage. We talked about fearing not, proclaiming the truth, right? And then Justin spoke last week on what God wants, how he wants our love, how he wants our worship. And when we give him that, that brings about uncommon obedience, it brings about unashamed devotion, and it brings about unrelenting surrender. And that was such a good word from our youth pastor last week, Justin. Amen? Proud of you, man. But we're going to get back into talking about vision in a kingdom-minded spiritual sense today. So the first thing we have to do is to see how the Father sees us, right? The Father's vision for us. And who he's called us to be, and then we ourselves will be able to have vision to be able to accomplish everything he's called us to do and who he's called us to be, okay? We've been using this scripture. It's been a staple in this series so far. The first part of Proverbs 29:18 says this. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So simply put today, I believe God wants all of us to see that there is more for our lives. Amen? As a ministry, as a church and kingdom family, and individually, right? God wants us to see that there is more. There is more. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to come in and try to blind us from seeing what is rightfully ours. Through circumstances in this life, through trials and tribulations we face in this life, even through complacency and religious routine, the enemy wants us to become blinded to what is rightfully ours in Christ. Because the moment that we see what is ours, we're going to go after it. Amen? The moment that we realize that there is more, we would be foolish to stay exactly where we're at. But the moment that we realize that greater is he that is within me than he that's in the world, we would be foolish to let the enemy try to keep running over us. Amen? And if you were here a few weeks ago, you heard us talking about this kingdom spiritual vision. And we said that a lot of our problems arise and they come from us trying to see things through these eyes, these fleshly eyes, instead of through the eyes of the Spirit. But we've got to know and we've got to understand that judging things according to what we see here in the flesh, it'll always lead us contrary to the things of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5, Paul tells us the flesh and the Spirit, they're contrary to one another, right? So we don't walk in the flesh, but we walk and are led by the Spirit of God. So really, a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you remember this, if you were here, great. If not, you can go back and watch the live stream. But I did a demonstration in my sermon, right? And I had Eli and Terry do a little demonstration. I called them up, and I blindfolded Eli. Anybody remember that? Well, we blindfolded Eli, and so he could not see. And I told Terry, I said, hey, go stand anywhere in the sanctuary And while he's blindfolded, he won't be able to see him. So Terry did that. And then first we told Eli, go find him, right? He couldn't do that. He couldn't see, right? He didn't know where he was going. He was stumbling all over the place. Almost got me in trouble. Because he was walking into people. So then I said, okay, now do this again. We blindfolded him again, told Terry, go stand anywhere in the sanctuary. And then I said, okay, Terry, now I want you to give Eli specific directions on how to get to you. So even though Eli could not see with these fleshly eyes, Terry began to speak to him and say, take 3 steps forward, turn right. Okay, take 5 steps. Okay, turn left, scoot over. All right, now keep moving forward. Until eventually, without being able to see anything with these fleshly eyes, Eli made it to Terry, right? Because he was listening. Listen, John 16:13 says, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So even though we may not be able to see things through the eyes of the flesh, God can communicate with us through his word, through the Holy Spirit, and allow us to see it through the eyes of the Spirit. And through the leading of the Holy Spirit, he'll be able to direct us where we need to be or what we need to be doing. Can I get an amen? So we need vision. We should want vision as the people of God. We should want spiritual vision, not just fleshly vision. So how do we accomplish that? How do we move into having spiritual kingdom vision? I got 3 things. I believe there's 3 things that can help us or even push us and press us into spiritual kingdom vision. And so you can write these down as we go if you want to, or if you got the church app. I don't know if a lot of people know this. We got a church app here. If you get on the church app, you click on it, and you go to the main page, home page. There's a little section right there. It says sermon notes. You click on that, it has all of my scriptures, it has all my points, and you can make notes under that and then email it to yourself. It's a great little tool you can use. So there are 3 things that push us and press us into spiritual vision. Here's 1, desire. Desire, okay? Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me, this is the Lord talking, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, I don't think there's really any sense in me trying to build up to this point, but I just kind of want to put it to you bluntly. Can I do that? And y'all not get mad at me? I was going to do it anyway, so I've had a lot of people mad at me before. I don't care. But we're never going to see more until we desire more. Just that's plain and simple. We're never going to see more until we desire more. And more is there. More is there. He's got more for you. He's got more for me. He's got more for the church as a whole, but he's got more for Remnant Church, right? He says in Ephesians 3:20-21, I'll do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. There's more available, right? But until we want it bad enough, we'll never move beyond where we're at to go after it, okay? So in all practicality, until you desire more of anything, you'll never go after it. You may need a new job because the one you have is not meeting the need, right? But until you get to the point where your desire to no longer be in that position outweighs your complacency with it, you will not go after a new one. There's this old saying, right? Actions speak louder than words. In other words, we could say we want more of this, and we could say that we want more of that, all that we want to, but there has to be some sort of action that corresponds to what our lips are saying. Otherwise, it's just lip service, right? James put it this way in James chapter 2, verse 26. He said, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So what he's saying is, hey, the proof is not just in the telling. There has to be some sort of action to what you are saying. Where when there is real desire, there will be a real demonstration of that desire, right? The truth is, when you really desire more, there'll be a push for more in your life. If you desire more of God, there'll be a push for more of God in your life, right? You'll push for more Bible reading. You'll make time for more Bible reading in your life. If you really want more of him, you'll make time for more prayer in your life. If you really want more of him, you'll make time for more worship of him in your life. If you really want more of him, you'll show up when his doors are open to his house in corporate worship. if you really want more, there is a push for more. When we, the body of Christ, desire more, right, there will be a demonstration that we are desiring more as a corporate body. If we really desire more souls to be saved, then we'll be reaching out to people outside of these walls more, right? We'll be witnessing to others more. We'll be sharing the gospel with people more. We'll be sharing our testimonies with more boldness of what God has done for us, and he's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for me, he can do it for you too. And whatever there is a desire for in here, in our heart, there will also be a vision for it as well. And if we keep the vision close in our hearts, there will be a desire to move towards it. Now, as I've said already, and I said a couple weeks ago, you may not be able to see it with these eyes, but you can see it through the eyes of the Spirit. Our desire to see our kids or our grandkids saved and in church, right? Even though we're not seeing that in the flesh, through the eyes of the Spirit, we can pray, and we can see them praying through in the altar, right? I may not see it right now, but praise God, in the Spirit, I see they're coming in. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. My kids, my grandkids, everybody, my spouse, we're going to serve the Lord. They're I don't see it right now, but praise God, they're coming in. I'm praying them in. I see it through the eyes of the Spirit. Listen, our desire for revival as a church body, it will allow us to see us that we're not just coming here to gather out a religious routine. But sometimes there is a lingering, right? Sometimes there is a waiting in the house of God. Sometimes there's a pressing and there's a pushing, going deeper in praise, going deeper in worship, going deeper in prayer. It's not just three songs, the word, let's get out of here and have El Nepal. But sometimes there's a pushing in. And if we really want the revival, there'll be a push and a desire for that and action to it. Y'all got quiet on me. Listen, we can see through the eyes of the Spirit, we may not see in the flesh, but we can see the possibility of things coming to pass. So one thing that could really help us have spiritual vision is making sure that we desire him the most. What we desire most is him, okay? And I would pray that we are not just desiring him with a part of our heart, right? But with our whole heart, as Jeremiah said. As Justin brought up last week in his sermon, Jesus himself, they were asked, what's the greatest commandment? What is it? And he said, hey, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all of it. Not part of it, but all of it. I think for far too long, we've been giving God part of our heart. For far too long, we've been giving God part of our life. For far too long, we've been giving God parts of our surrender. But we're not fully giving him everything. But this is what he said. I want all of it. If you seek me, or if you desire me, you will find me, right? If you search for me, or if you desire me with your whole heart, your whole heart. So what we desire plays an important role in spiritual kingdom vision, what we desire. Here's the second thing that can help with spiritual kingdom vision. Prayer. I can't count how many times in my sermons prayer has been one of the points. Because it's one of the most important things, right? Prayer. Prayer and spiritual vision, they go hand in hand. Prayer actually allows us to see God in action. Mark 11:24, King James Version says this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, there's that word, right? Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, okay? When you pray. So our desires should actually lead us to prayer, okay? Too often, y'all hear me, I'm going to preach hard to you. Too often, our desires lead us to all the wrong things, to all the wrong people, and to all the wrong places. When really, the first place we should always go with desire is to the prayer closet. To the prayer closet. And really, the first thing we need to do is to make sure that any desire that we have or any desire that we are having is a God desire. Okay? And if it's not a God desire, what do? You pray, right? I gave you this scripture a few weeks ago, but I really just want to give it to you again. If you're having thoughts or you're having desires that are not of Him, that do not line up with Him, do not line up with His Word, then you have to call to mind this scripture. You pray this scripture, right? I do this all the time. I got a couple staple scriptures that I quote in prayer over myself, right? Here's one of those. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, right? Strong desires. You know what lust is? Right, and people automatically go to the physical element of lust, but you can lust over anything. People lust over money, over houses, over cars, over other people, right? But lust is desire gone mad. That's what lust is. Lust is desire that's gone mad. Uncontrollable desire, okay? But it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, pulling down those strong desires. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if it's a desire, if it's a thought that goes against what God has already said right here, that's going against the knowledge of God that you already know. And so when that's happening, you cast down that argument in your own mind. And it says, listen, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, what He's already said, the living Word. So if it's not a God desire, you cast that thing down. If it's an ungodly desire, you take that thing captive. And you say, hey, listen, this doesn't line up with my Heavenly Father's will for my life. It does not line up for His Word and what He's already said. It does not line up with His plans for my life. So guess what? You got to go. I cast you down and I bind you up in the name of Jesus. We like to entertain those things, and before you know it, that desire turns to lust, and lust in action is immorality. Now, if it is a God desire, and it is a God desire for your life, then what do? You pray about it still. And then really, there'll be nothing to stop it in God's timing. Might not be in your timing, but there'll be nothing to stop it in God's timing. Prayer is not just a ritualistic duty of being a Christian. But prayer should be a part of our everyday life. As we said a couple weeks ago, it's divine communication. Divine communication is one of the definitions of spiritual vision. Listen, we talk to God through prayer. We worship Him through prayer. He actually talks to us in our time of prayer if we'll take the time to stop and listen, right? Again, it's not just a bow your head, clasp your hands, and God is good, God is great. Let us thank Him for this plate. By His hands we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. Amen. Listen, it goes much deeper than that. There's nothing wrong with that, right? I've said those prayers a lot. But sadly, the deepest many have gone in prayer is, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's it. We don't go any deeper. Listen, prayer is more than that. Prayer is simply you talking to God like He's your best friend. It's relationship and allowing Him to speak to you. Listen, I pray all the time. I pray in my car all the time. When I'm driving, that's some of the best prayer time I've ever had. Listen, I went to Atlanta this week. I was on my way back from Atlanta. I got caught in some traffic. I texted my family. I said, I don't know why anybody wants to live in the city of Atlanta. Right? An hour drive took me 3 hours to get home, right? And so I'm sitting in traffic. I had to pray. Like, well, I'm getting impatient. Lord, give me patience, right? And so as I sat there for a while, traffic finally opened up. I start cruising down the interstate, right? I'm in my black truck, my little Tacoma. I'm cruising down in the left lane. I'm doing a steady 80 miles per hour, right? Five over. Lord, forgive me for that. But I'm being honest. 80 miles per hour, just cruising down that left lane. And, man, I'm just glad to be moving. Well, I notice coming up behind me in my rearview mirror, there is an F-150 Burgundy, and this thing is approaching fast. This dude had to be going 100 miles per hour because he was approaching me like I was sitting still. And I'm thinking, all right, I got to get over, let this guy go, right? Problem was, I had two cars beside me that I was approaching. I would have had to slam on my brakes to get behind them. I would have had to pedal to the metal to get in front of him as fast as he was approaching. And I said, well, I'll just wait till I steadily pass them. I'll get over, let this guy be on his way. Before I could get past those cars, this guy was on me. And I'm talking about the closest I've ever seen anybody on my bumper. In my rearview mirror, all I could see was the tip part of top of his hood and his windshield. He was that close. I'm telling you, I hit the brakes, I was done for. So I finally got past these cars, and I just calmly moved over, let this guy go, because he was in a hurry. And so he pulls up beside me, rolls down his window, and he tells me I'm number one. And I'm like, wow, this guy really likes me. I just laughed. I honestly was like, okay. Yeah, I just kind of laughed about it. But so I get over. This guy goes past me, and then he whips over in front of me, starts brake checking me. I'm like, why is this guy? Does he think I'm somebody else? Because there was nothing that happened, literally nothing that happened. And so he loved me so much, he opened the sliding back window, and he told me I was number one again. And I tell you, everything in me, this redhead in me, wanted to say and do so many things. But I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I don't want to react. I want to respond. So this is what I did. No joke. I knew the guy was still looking at me because he was brake checking me. I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what's going on right now. I literally did this. I went. I kid you not, as soon as I did that, that dude, I don't know if it was the exit he was supposed to get off of, but he whipped over to the right lane and hit the exit ramp. And I was just like, okay, I don't know what just happened, but thank you, Lord, for helping me stay calm. And thank you for reminding me I'm number one in your eyes. Prayer is us, you know, it's constantly communicating with God. I pray in the car all the time. I pray in the grocery store. When I'm shopping, I'm just walking by myself. I'll be praying, Lord, what do I need to buy this? And he's like, you know you don't need the sugar. Okay, I pray in church. I pray at lunch. I pray when I wake up in the morning. I pray when I lay down at night, right? I am constantly communicating with God. And I'm not doing that out loud all the time. I'm doing that in my head and my heart a lot of the times, right? But he is a part of everything I do. I think that's what Paul meant when he said pray without ceasing. He didn't mean we had to go around just praying out loud in front of everybody, right? But we're talking to the Lord. We're building relationship with him like I would with anyone else, right? And so he's a part of everything I do, and he should be a part of everything we all do. Amen? Right? Prayer is a connection from our spirit to his spirit. And so this message I know is about vision, spiritual vision, but I can tell you this, you'll never have real spiritual vision until you learn how to see and focus, and that comes through a life of prayer, right? Now, I got all kinds of stories. I could tell stories up here all day about being in public and praying. I got a lot of hospital stories. I go to the hospital, visit people a lot, but as I was making notes this week, I thought of a memory that I wanted to share from 2019 with my mom, okay? Before my mom was completely healed of cancer and she was called home to be in the presence of Jesus, she had a long battle with multiple myeloma, okay? Multiple myeloma is a form of leukemia, which is cancer of the blood. And during her battle with this, there were many times that I would take my mom to treatment, right, whatever treatment she need, and I would wait with her wherever she had to be at that time. So back in 2019, I'd taken my mom to a chemo treatment, and treatments at that time, because we'd been at Northside and different hospitals, but at that time it was at Kennesaw Hospital in Kennesaw. Anybody, I don't know if you know this, but that's a busy place. It's a busy place, right? A lot of people in and out. We got several people that go here that work tirelessly at Kennesaw Hospital, and they do a great job. But we were at Kennesaw Hospital. There's a certain cancer section. So we got there, and they called my mom back to do her labs. And so what they do is they would take you to a lab, do blood work, and then they would access the port that they that she had in her to do chemo treatments, okay? And so they would actually take us to a different waiting area. So she got called, we go back, they would take her to the lab, and then they moved me around to the backside of the lab. In this little room, it was more like a hallway, and it was full of people that were waiting, that were either waiting to be called back to their room for their treatment, or full of people like me that was waiting on someone that was in the lab, okay? So we're there in that waiting area. I'm surrounded by so many people who were sick, hurting. They all needed something, and I'm like, I want to pray for all of them, right? That's my mindset. And so I'm just sitting there running that through my head. I just wanted to go down the line, start laying hands on them, right? And I wanted to do that without causing an uproar and getting kicked out of the hospital. So as these thoughts are running through my head, I'm praying as whether or not I should just start, wow! Or just grab him by the hand, right? But as I'm sitting there thinking that, there's a gentleman that comes in and he sits down beside me. He has a book in his hand. And I can tell this guy's not a patient. I can tell he was there waiting for someone just like I was. And so he sits down. He begins to read. I find myself kind of just staring at his book, looking over and kind of staring at it. And all of a sudden, he looks over at me like, what the heck are you looking at? And I said, oh, man, I'm just trying to read your book with you. You know, I just kind of made a comment. He laughed, and we started a conversation. He asked me how I was. I said, fine. I asked him how he was doing. He said, fine. He said, I woke up with breath in my lungs, so I'm thankful. I'm alive. I'm good. And, you know, sometimes we overlook being thankful for so many routine things, little things. Just being able to take a deep breath and let it out, right? Everybody do that right now. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Yeah, it does feel good, Wayne. Do it one more time. You know, there are some people who are not able to do that right now. We should be thankful. We should be grateful. So that led us into a conversation. I'm talking with this guy, with this man, and I'll never forget his name. His name was Gordon. It's not hard to forget that name for me. That was the name of one of my grandfathers. My mom's dad was named Gordon, Paul Gordon, okay? So Gordon and I talked. He told me he was there with his wife, Sue, who was sick. This was a cancer center, so I knew it had to be some form of cancer. So Gordon and I, we talked for a few moments until this lady walked out from the lab. And when she walked out, I knew it had to be his wife because I saw the way his face lit up. His eyes lit up, his face lit up. And I was like, there ain't no doubt. This is this man's wife. And I was sitting right beside him. So I stood up and I offered her my seat that was beside him. And right about that time, my mom had walked out right behind her. And so I was going to make my way and go sit down beside my mom. But as I turned and started to walk away from this couple, I felt my spirit. God said to me, them. I want you to pray for them. So I turned to him and I said, I was going to go sit down, and I'm going to do that still, but before I do, I'd really like to pray for you guys. Would that be all right? They said, yeah. And we grabbed hands and we prayed right there in that hallway, and there was a silence that fell over that whole hallway. And as I prayed, I heard tears begin to fall from both Gordon and Sue. I finished that prayer, and when I did, Gordon was a very tall man. He stood up, and he gave me this big old hug, and he said, you don't know how much we needed this right here. That was it. I didn't witness anything physically miraculous at that moment, and yet I did. It's been something that stuck with me for 6 years now, because through that moment in prayer, God allowed me to see. He gave me spiritual vision that he had me there for more than one reason in just bringing my mother and trying to help out. And also through prayer, he allowed Gordon and Sue to see, to have spiritual vision that he, God, was there. That he was on their side and that he was loving them and caring for them in the middle of what they were going through. Listen, prayer helps us see. It brings about spiritual vision. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a story. The nation of Syria and the nation of Israel, they're at war and they're fighting one another. And there's the prophet Elisha, okay? Man of God, he's a man of prayer, and God keeps giving him insight. God keeps revealing things to him that Syria is getting ready to do. So he gets divine revelation. He has spiritual vision, right, through communicating with God, and he goes and tells the king of Israel, hey, Syria is getting ready to do this. It was like they knew it. They knew Syria's every move. And so the king of Syria finally gets upset. He's like, I want to know who in the world is telling all of our plans to our enemy. We got a mole, we got a rat, we got a traitor among us. And his people, his generals speak up and they say, listen, there's no traitor, but there's a prophet of God in Israel whose name is Elisha. He's hearing from the Lord. They're saying the Lord's revealing this, and he's telling it to the king of Israel. And so the king of Syria says, okay, did I say the king of Syria? The king of Syria says, all right, let's go get Elisha. King of Syria, that's Tony the Tiger to me.
They're great.
So the king of Syria sends out his army, right? The Syrian army surrounds Elisha in the city that he's in. It was the city of Dothan, not Dothan, Alabama. I don't want to hear a Roll Tide right now. They're in the word. Dothan, right? And when Elisha's servant actually wakes up, he sees that this whole city that they're in has been surrounded by the Syrian army, and he's afraid. He's a young man. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, he says to Elisha, what in the world are we going to do, man? That's in my own terms, but what are we going to do? He's kind of panicking. And then in verse 16, Elisha says, hey, don't worry. They're more for us than they are against us. And this servant guy's like, what's wrong with Elisha? He done went crazy. There's two of us. There's a whole army out there. But then we got to ask ourselves, what was Elisha seeing that his servant did not see? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17 says this. And Elisha prayed. We're talking about prayer, right? That's our second point. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes, give him vision. Listen, this young man was not physically blind. He's asking to give him spiritual vision. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see, give him spiritual vision. Then the Lord opened his eyes. He gave him spiritual vision. He opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Listen, when you cannot see it in the flesh, but then you pray, prayer will allow you to see God in action. When it's not visible here, how can we know that it's there? Through prayer, God allows us to see a vision of his provision. Through prayer, he allows us to see the stripes on Jesus' back that has already been a payment for your healing, right? Through prayer, he allows us to see past the attack of the enemy, to see him as our defender, as our shield, as our buckler, as the lifter of our head. Through prayer, he'll open up a line of divine communication, regardless of what's happening in your life, so that you can see that he is for you and not against you. And if he be for you, who or what could stand against you? Let me tell you what prayer does. Prayer helps you see yourself on the winning side, the Lord's side. Prayer helps you see, as the song that we sing says, right? It may look like I'm surrounded on every side by the enemy, but really, I'm surrounded by you, God himself. Let me tell you something this morning. He's on your right. He's on your left. He's in front of you. He's behind you. He's above you. He's below you. And he's living on the inside of you. There is nowhere you can go to escape the presence of God. He's for you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. So we have desire. We have prayer. Here's the third one. Menda, you can come. Let's go back, finish Mark 11, 24. It says, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. My third one is believe. Believe. Have faith. It brings about spiritual vision, right? Would it be easy enough to say that if you're not going to believe, you're never going to have spiritual vision? The word believe there is to have faith. To have faith. Faith, according to Hebrews 11:1, is this. Now faith is, he gives us a definition, right? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means you can't see it here, but you still see it through the eyes of the Spirit. So faith is being able to see the invisible. Faith is being able to touch the intangible. It goes on in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe, right? Believe that he is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently or desire and seek him, right? You've got to believe that he rewards those who have a desire for him and who have a desire for more. And then it all comes and it works together, right? Without a desire for more, you'll never see more. Unless you have prayer in your life, you are missing out on divine communication that is needed in your life to see through the eyes of the Spirit. Because prayer is what will allow you to see beyond the natural into the supernatural. And that will actually cause you to believe. And you can believe what God said. He is who he said he is. He'll do what he said he'll do. And you can believe that all things are possible with him who believes. Listen, it is possible for anyone to move beyond their present state in the natural, but especially in the spiritual realms. But you have to desire to move. And if you have a desire to move, there'll be a demonstration toward moving. Your prayer life will increase because you realize that you have to have his help. You have to have his direction. Without that, it's the blind leading the blind. We got to have his help. We got to have his direction. And when your desire moves you to pray for his direction, what do we do then? Simply believe. Simply believe. I want everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes. Pray this simple prayer. Just say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? Let him speak to your heart for just a second. I'm gonna allow the Spirit to speak to you. Pray it one more time. Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? Just every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here desires more? Just throw your hand up. Who here desires more of God? Who desires more of his will and more of his direction in your life? I think we all do, right? If we're honest. Who here would be honest and say, I need to pray more? Prayer is not a consistent, persistent thing in my life, and it needs to be. Thank y'all for your honesty. Who here this morning would say, Pastor Andrew, I'm struggling with belief, with just faith itself. Maybe it's in God, that even God exists, right? Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just given the situation you find yourself in your life, you feel as if your faith is weak. How many say I'm struggling with belief? Whether it's in God or whether it's through situations you find yourself in, I'm just struggling. I feel like my faith is weak. Y'all look at me. There's an incredible moment in Scripture where a man says to Jesus, he says, God of belief, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Listen, we all struggle in different times, in different seasons, different areas of our life. God is not distant from that. He understands that. He understands that. All he wants us to do is be honest about it and say, hey, I'm struggling in my faith right now, but my desire is to not struggle in my faith anymore. So God, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm struggling in the season that I find myself in, and I don't really see a way out. It does look like I'm surrounded on every side, right? I don't know how God is going to move. This looks really impossible to me. But praise God, we serve a God that does impossible things. So you may not understand. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a relational situation. Maybe it's an emotional situation, a spiritual situation. But you feel like you're surrounded on all sides. And I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. But even though it looks like I'm surrounded, I choose to believe that I'm surrounded even more by you. And you will make a way where there seems to be no way. When there's real desire, there's action to that. This isn't a pressure tactic. I'm just going to give you an opportunity. I want everybody to stand. This is between you and the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.